that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And I believe it right now that with uplifted hands, we're letting the Lord know that we hold nothing back and that He's everything we need. Come on, somebody, right now, would you begin to thank Him for His awesome presence? We love you, Jesus. Have your way today, God. Have your way today. Every need, every situation, we give it to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Let's worship the Lord in song today.
There is no shadow that has ever overcome your life. There is no that could ever stand against your might. You've always been with us. Every battle you've already won, we've already won. There is no weapon that has ever left a mark on you. There is no army power to conquer truth. You've always been with us. Every battle you've already won, we've already won. Show me one thing He can do. Show me a mountain He can move. He's the God of the breakthrough, and anything is possible. Show me one thing that's too hard. Show me waters He can part. He's the God of the breakthrough, and anything is possible. It's possible.
There is a kingdom that's advancing at the speed of light. And in His kingdom, every dead thing is bound to rise. Our God, our Redeemer, He is faithful to revive. Oh, He will revive.
Sing, show me one thing He can do. Show me a mountain He can move. He's the God of the breakthrough, and anything is possible. Show me one thing that's too hard. Show me waters He can part. He's the God of the breakthrough, and anything is possible. It's possible. Now all of my fear I will turn into praise. Shake off despair as I sing out your name. A victory dance, I will dance out in faith. I will crush disappointment and break every chain. Now all of my fears I will turn into praise. Shake off despair as I sing out your name. A victory dance, I will dance out in faith. I will crush disappointment and break every chain. Now all of my fear I will turn into praise. Shake off despair as I sing out your name. A victory dance I will dance out in faith. I will crush disappointment and break every chain. 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 Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Show me one thing He can do. Show me a mountain He can move. He's the God of the breakthrough, and anything is possible. Show me one thing that's too hard. Show me waters He can part. He's the God of the breakthrough, and anything is possible.
All of my fear I will turn into praise. Shake off despair as I sing out your name. A victory dance I will dance
crush disappointment and break every chain.
Now all of my fear I will turn into praise. Shake off despair as I sing out your name. A victory dance, I will dance out in faith. I will crush disappointment and break every chain.
Now all of my fear I will turn into praise.
Shake off despair as I sing out your name. A victory dance, I will dance out in faith. I will crush disappointment and break every chain. 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 Break every chain.
Break every chain.
Break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
Say, show me one thing he can't do. Show me a mountain he can't move.
He's the God of the breakthrough, and anything is possible. Show me what is he doing. He's the God of the breakthrough, and anything is possible, is possible.
God, amen. There is nothing he cannot do for us today. Let's lift our voice one more time. Let's lift our hands to a holy God who can do, reach into areas. Amen, amen. Amen. How many love what you feel here today? The Spirit of God is moving in such a way. Penetrating into us this morning and moving in a direction, and all we have to do is just follow after him, amen. We just have to raise our voice and lift our hands, amen. Amen. I'm thankful for what I feel here today, and just a few announcements for those, and there'll be ladies' prayer tomorrow at 7 o'clock. So if you're a lady and you want to pray tomorrow at 7 o'clock here at the church. Also, Tuesday at 6:30, there'll be ladies' workout here at the church also. So if you're a lady and you want to work out, that's at 6:30. Emphasize on the lady part. Next Sunday after church, there will be a youth fundraiser. There'll be walking tacos. So if you want to support that, it's a free will donation. That's next Sunday, walking tacos. The youth will be providing that for us. And aren't you excited that the youth are getting involved? And yeah. Amen. That's exciting. And also today after church, if anyone's involved in break-in, there will be a fellowship next door in the Inspirations. So if you want to go to that, speak with Sister Debbie or head that way following service. So I'm sure they'll have a great time over there, as I've seen they have in the past. So. Amen. And as we continue worship here today, we're going to do another form of worship. If we could have our ushers come to the front at this time. And we're just going to continue to move in the direction God is moving. And just one more time, let's lift our hands. Why don't we just lift our voice in the name of Jesus. Lord, we come before you. We ask that you bless the gift and the giver today. We ask that you touch us and that you guide us and lead us. In your name we pray. In the name of Jesus. Greet someone. Let them know you're happy to see them in the house of the Lord. Take a few moments and greet somebody in Jesus' name.
this next song just says, He is my champion. Giants will fall when He... God.
You are my champion. Giants fall when you stand undefeated. Every battle you've won, I am who you say I am. You crown me with confidence. I am seated in the heavenly place, undefeated with the one who has conquered it all.
I've tried so hard to see it, took me so long to believe it. You chose someone like me to carry your victory. Perfection could never end it. Give what we don't deserve it. You take the broken racing to glory.
You are my champion. Giants fall when you stand undefeated. Every battle you've won, I am who you say I am. You crown me with confidence. I am seated in the heavenly place, undefeated with the one who has conquered it all.
Now I can finally see it, you're teaching me how to receive it. So let all the striving, this is my victory.
You are my champion. Giants fall when you stand undefeated. Every battle you've won, I am who you say I am. You crown me with confidence. I am seated in the heavenly place, undefeated with the one who has conquered it all.
Every wall comes crashing down. I have the authority Jesus has given me. When I open up my mouth, miracles come breaking out. I have the authority Jesus has given me. When I open my voice and shout, miracle comes crashing down. I have the authority Jesus has given me. When I open up my mouth, miracles start breaking out. I have the authority Jesus has given me. You are my champion. Giants fall when you stand undefeated. Every battle you won, I am who you say I am.
Jesus has given it. You are my champion. Giants fall when you stand undefeated. Every battle you've won, I am who you say I am. You crown me with confidence. I am seated in the heavenly place, undefeated with the one who has conquered it all.
Stories that approved your faithfulness, and I've seen miracles my mind can comprehend. There is beauty in what I can understand. Jesus, it's you. Jesus, it's you. Say, I believe you're the wonder-working God. You're the wonder-working God. All the miracles I've seen, you're too good to not believe. You're the wonder-working God, and you heal because you love. All the miracles we'll see, you're too good to not believe. Too good to not believe. Too good to not believe. Whoa. And I can resurrect a man with my own hands. But just the mention of your name can raise the dead. All the glory to the only one who cares. Jesus, it's you. Jesus, it's you. I believe you're the wonder-working God. You're the wonder-working God. All the miracles I've seen, too good to not believe. You're the wonder-working God, and you heal because you love. All the miracles we'll see, too good to not believe. Too good to not believe. Too good to not believe. After everything I've seen, we've seen cancer disappear. We've seen broken bodies healed. Don't you tell me he can't do it. Don't you tell me he can't do it. We've seen a real life resurrection. We've seen mental health restored. Don't you tell me he can't do it. Don't you tell me he can't do it. He's reunited.
We've seen prodigals return. Don't you tell me he can't do it. Don't you tell me he can't do it. We've seen troubled souls delivered. We've seen addicts finally free. Don't you tell me he can't do it. Don't you tell me he can't do it.
We'll see cities in revival. Salvation flood the streets.
Don't you tell me he can't do it. Don't you tell me he can't do it. We'll see glory fill the nations like the world has never seen. Don't you tell me he can't do it. The
wonder-working God, and you heal because you love. All the miracles I see, too good to not believe, too good to not believe, too good to not believe. We've seen cancer disappear. We've seen broken bodies healed. Don't you tell me he can't do it. Don't you tell me he can't do it. We've seen a real life resurrection. We've seen mental health restored. Don't you tell me he can't do it. Don't you tell me he can't do it. We've seen families reunited. We've seen prodigals return. Don't you tell me he can't do it. Don't you tell me he can't do it. We've seen troubled souls delivered. We've seen addicts finally free. Don't you tell me he can't do it. Don't you tell me he can't do it. We've seen cities in revival. Salvation flood the streets. Don't you tell me he can't do it. Don't you tell me he can't do it. We'll see glory fill the nation like the world has never seen. Don't you tell me he can't do it. Cause I know that he can. I believe you're the wonder-working God. You're the wonder-working God. All the miracles I've seen, too good to not believe. You're the wonder-working God, and you heal because you love. All the miracles we'll see, too good to not believe. Too good to not believe. Too good to not believe. Believe you're the wonder working God. You're the wonder working God. All the miracles I see, too good to not believe. You're the wonder working God, and you heal because you love. All the miracles I see, too good to not believe. Too good to not believe. Too good to not believe.
Yes, yes, come on, somebody. You're too good to not believe. I believe in you, Jesus. I believe in you, Lord Jesus. Oh, come on, let's clap our hands and thank him. He's too good. We know he's too good to not believe it. The Bible says that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, which lets me know if he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same. If he did it then, he can do it today. If he healed then, he can heal today. And what's greater than that is yesterday is my past. Tomorrow is my future. So he is the God that can take care of your yesterday. He's the God that can take care of your past. And he wants to be your God, your hope, my hope in the future. Would you shout hallelujah? Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Just maybe put your hand on the person next to you right now if it's okay to do. And just maybe just connect with them and just say, hey, he's done too much for me. Would you pray for them right now? Whatever the need, whatever the situation is that they're facing in their life right now. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Right now, in the name of the Lord Jesus, there's loneliness, there's issues going on, God, that only you can work in. Only you can navigate us through these things. Oh, God, I pray it right now, Jesus. You can take care of my yesterdays, and you can certainly take But right now, God, I'm standing in the need of prayer. I'm standing in the need. I got a situation greater than me, and I need you, Jesus. I need you, Jesus. I need you, Lord. I got situations going on that I need you to move in, Lord. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Lord, you're good and your mercies are for everlasting to everlasting. Look at somebody and say, the Lord is my shepherd. He's all I need. He's all I need. One more time, clap your hands and thank the Lord for his awesome presence with you here today. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty presence of God is here. We're excited right after service. I know there's some things going on with different ministries, but right after, Crystal is going to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. We're thankful for that. Amen. You may be seated. Charles Spurgeon wrote this. The Lord is my shepherd, he says. But he says, Psalms 23, it has charmed more griefs to rest than all the philosophy of the world. It has remanded to their dungeon more felon thoughts, more black doubts, more thieving sorrows than there are sands on the seashore. It has comforted the noble hosts of the poor. It has sung courage to the army of the disappointed. It has poured balm and consolation into the heart of the sick, of captives in dungeons, of widows in their pinching griefs, of orphans in their loneliness. Dying soldiers have died easier as it was read to them. Ghastly hospitals have been illuminated. It has visited the prisoner. Broken his chains, and like Peter's angel, led him forth in imagination and sung him back to his home again. It has been made the dying Christian slave freer than his master, and consoled those whom dying he left behind mourning, not so much that he has gone or was gone, as because they were left behind and could go, could not go too. End of quote. I believe it's safe to say that all of us have found some sort of relief and comfort from this very text, Psalms 23 and 1. Can anybody quote Psalms 23 and 1? Maybe we could try it. Ready? 1, 2, 3, go. Oh, you guys are going for it. Look at that. We got an adult Bible quizzing going on. you want to start one of those, Sister Michelle? An adult Bible quizzing. I remember when I was a kid, they'd have Bible sword drills. Anybody ever hear of those things? And the thing about that was, is you were eliminated if you had the cheater tabs on it, you know, where you can easily find it. And yesterday I seen a picture, and it was a guy with this huge Bible. It must have been a family Bible because it took up like from his forearm down to his fingertips, and he's just from his elbow to his finger, and he's just holding it. And I said, my goodness, this guy has won more battles in Bible sword drill than probably every living soul alive. But one child in Sunday school was challenged to quote that very scripture. He was challenged to quote it in front of the class, and although the child had drawn some soft giggles from his peers, his mishap was stated from a child's point of view, for he said, the Lord is my shepherd. He's all I need. You see, from that child's perspective, and what it was simply this. So long as you have God on your side, he's everything that you need. He's everything that you and I need. Would you clap your hands and shout hallelujah? He's everything you need. And how many has found that to be true, that when you are at a loss, or when there's more bills than there is money, or when confronted with a greater task than there is strength, the Lord is your shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, and he's everything that I need. You see, David thought good and hard about this description of the Lord. the God who had fought so many battles for him. Yet simultaneously, David allowed his mind to wander back to the fields of his shepherding days. David thought about how God and how he made this analogy of a shepherd and his sheep. And the Lord was like that very thing, a shepherd to David. And yet, David was like a sheep to the Lord. The Lord is my, everybody said, the Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. This very analogy about our Lord being referenced to as a shepherd to his people is really nothing new. Asaph referenced the Lord as a shepherd who would lead the children of Joseph as a flock of sheep in Psalms 80 and 1. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 11, it speaks of the words of the wise are given by one shepherd. Isaiah stated that the Lord would feed his flock, his people, and he would gather the lambs with his arms, found in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 11. Peter in the New Testament referenced and likened our Lord as our chief shepherd in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 4. You see, the Lord has referenced himself as our chief shepherd, which one scholar by the last name of Boyce states this: in Israel, as in other societies, a shepherd's work was considered the lowest of all works. If a family needed a shepherd, it was always the youngest son, and like David, who got this unpleasant assignment. Yet, we find our Lord referring to himself as our great shepherd, our chief shepherd, which lets us know that we can find our Lord willing to stoop down to such an assignment and be our great shepherd. When you don't know what to do, just go to Jesus, the great, great shepherd. Come on, somebody. Just say, the Lord is my shepherd. The Bible references sheep approximately 500 times in Scripture. Sheep, they state, have great memories. Sheep, now this is what's interesting to me, and I don't know how they figure this stuff out. I should probably study it a little more or maybe go follow a sheep farm around. But they say this, that sheep are an emotionally complex animal. How do they find that out? I don't know, but that's what they say. And here's what they say also, that sheep cannot write themselves up if they're on their back. So if they fall on their back, they can't get up on their own. The sheep need help from the shepherd. And even though shepherds were thought of differently by others, our Lord was willing and is willing to go to bat for you and I. He gets down to where we are. He gets his hands dirty to pick us up, to right our wrongs. You see, the Lord is my shepherd. He's everything I need. He's everything. He's my shepherd. He's my shepherd. That sounds personal, doesn't it? My shepherd does. And that's what David on purpose chose those words, is my shepherd. You see, sheep to the shepherd are not some wild animal or mere object, but rather sheep to a shepherd is personal. Sheep recognize the voice of their shepherd and feel comfort in knowing that he's leading and not driving them. Sheep, if not born to the herd, was most certainly bought for a great price. My pastor in North Carolina, one time he went out to a field and he had heard this, so he just wanted to try it out. And he had heard that the sheep herd only listens to the voice of the shepherd. And so wherever he was, I can't remember what country he was in, but he went out there. And he had seen the shepherd out there just doing what shepherds do and watching the flock. And so he said, I'm going to try this out. And so he started yelling at the sheep. And the sheep just did what sheep do. They did nothing. They just walked around. They kind of grazed around. But then he somehow communicated to the shepherd that he wanted to see if those sheep really heard his voice. But in the moment the shepherd of that flock lifted his voice, those sheep did exactly what he commanded it to do. You see, the sheep know the voice of their shepherd, and the Lord is my shepherd, and he knows our voice, and we ought to recognize his. Hear me clearly today. You belong to the Lord. And he most certainly paid a great price for you. Look at someone, just say, you belong to the Lord. You belong to the Lord. That's personal now. David wrote that on purpose. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. I belong to him. David didn't say the Lord is the shepherd of the world at large. He leads the world as his flock. But rather, again, he said, the Lord is my shepherd. Ezekiel 34 and 31 says this, and ye, my flock, the flock of my pasture, are men, and I am your God, saith the Lord God. One translation reads like this, you are my sheep, the sheep of my pasture, and I am your God, declares the sovereign Lord. He is our shepherd. And I find it amazing that Jesus likens you and I as sheep, and he is our great shepherd. Now, we do a little crazy things around here sometimes. Look at someone, just make the sound of a sheep. You know what's so funny is there was just, welcome to the church. Someone just walked in the back door and seen you. I'm teasing, that didn't happen. I'm teasing. They'd be thinking we're born in a barn or something up here. Mary had a little lamb. But I'm amazed that Jesus likens us as sheep, and he's the chief shepherd. For the Bible reads in John chapter 10 and verse 1, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what the things were which he spake unto them. Then he said, and Jesus said unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. And he says this in verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. I am, Jesus said this now, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And I say, it's no wonder why we are considered the sheep of his pasture. We truly do need Jesus, don't we? Our great shepherd. It's in this very text we find a thought that Jesus needed in us to understand, needed them as well as us to understand, that not only is he the good shepherd, but he's also the door, the gatekeeper. Jesus is teaching this in a parable form to give us the imagery of a sheep pen, which many times was made out of stone, and of course some were made out of tangled up bushes and thorn bushes, and so that was given this barrier of sorts to protect the sheep. I said this a few weeks ago, I guess, but there's a hedge built around you and I. Aren't you thankful for that hedge of protection? Anybody ever pray like that? God, put a hedge of protection. Put a protection around my kids. Put this hedge. And what that really means is, Lord, put something around them that will keep a predator from coming in. But it also means this, Lord, keep them inside there no matter the cost. So those thorn bushes that they put out, or in Central America, they'd build walls and they'd put glass on top and nails. And the purpose was not just to keep a predator out, it is to keep those inside safe. And you see, sometimes we need that protection around us. It's not just to keep us in, but it's to protect us from what's out. Those small walls were made of thorn bushes as well. The reality reality is when we get too close, it pricks us a little bit. We feel this, something ain't right, or I shouldn't be doing this, or I shouldn't be acting like this. This same concept was used for sheep pens. Both stone and thorn bushes kept the sheep in and predators out. Scholars state this, that at night, the shepherd would bring the sheep inside the pen to provide a place to where they could rest. You see, remember, sheep are emotional. Now you know why the person around you might be a little emotional. Look at somebody go, bah. Oh, Jesus, help me. You see, there's a reason why Jesus likens us as the sheep and he as the great shepherd, because the shepherd knows that we are humans and that humans sometimes deal with things and they get a little messy and they have issues going on, but he said, I'm okay with that. I'm a shepherd. If you fall down and you can't get up on your own, I'll lift you up. Remember, that's what they state, that sheep can literally fall over on their back or on their side, and they can't get up on their own. That's terrible. But the shepherd knows that. How many's ever fallen? How many's made mistakes in their life? There it is. You don't want to raise your hand, but because you don't, you know, lie you fry. Come on, somebody. And you're like, can I ever get back up? And the shepherd's like, yeah, I got this one. Come on. And the shepherd can reach down. See, he knows. He's my shepherd. He's my shepherd. That's why David said that the Lord is, he's not the shepherd, which he is, but he is my shepherd. But upon entrance, the sheep would literally enter one at a time, with the purpose of the shepherd stopping each and every one of them with his rod and checking for injuries, checking for sores. And I've talked about it many times about thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. And we know and understand that all you have to do is research sheep and the shepherds and why David likened oil as being soothing and likened us having our head anointed is because in sheep and shepherds, here's what happened. If they were getting tortured by bugs and gnats and what have you, they pour oil on their woolly head. It'd run down, get in their ears, get in their eyes and their nose and around their mouth. And the reason was because gnats, flies, and whatever other insect, it would want to bury itself, burrow itself through the ear, up the nose, and literally drive a lamb or a sheep crazy. They'd go and beat their head up against a rock just because they were hearing the sounds or felt like they heard the sounds of bugs in their ears. Now, I remember my niece or nephew, I can't remember exactly which one it was, but they literally shoved like Skittles and beans up their nose and their ear. I don't know what was going on with that, but they didn't get their head anointed with oil. I know that. Historians have found evidence that when these shepherds would put their sheep in a pen, the shepherd wouldn't be very far away. He wouldn't go down to the local Motel 6. He wouldn't go down to the Ramada Inn or a Roach Motel, but rather, the shepherd would become the door, the gatekeeper, and literally lay in front of the opening. The Lord is my shepherd. He would become the door. In order for a predator to gain access to and experience lamb chops, it would have to fight the shepherd. If a wild animal wanted to wander into the flock, he would have to fight the shepherd. Yet also, if the sheep wanted to wander off on its own through the night, it would literally have to risk injury from the damage of the hedge about it, but also it would literally have to step over the shepherd to escape. And I know how us humans work. Don't you know how humans work? We get a little things in our head and our mind thinking we ought to do it this way, we ought to do it that way. Amen. I know how we think because I is one. But sometimes we want to wander off and do our own thing. Sometimes we wander off and we want to do it our way or my way. And on the outside, but the shepherd knows. And if we walk outside of that fold of protection, we literally will have to step over the shepherd. But the Lord is my shepherd. He's everything I need. He's everything I need. And in olden times, historians state that literally the shepherd became the door. That's why Jesus said, I am the door. If anybody comes up another way, they're a thief and a robber. They don't belong there. But what amazes me that if that little lamb, if those sheep wanted to get outside, one, they had to risk injury of the hedge of protection around them, but they would also have to step over, oh my, they would have to step over the love of the shepherd. But guess what? We have a great shepherd. And at times we mess up. We try to escape the shepherd's arm. We try to escape the shepherd's love. But the Lord is my, he knows me. He knows my weaknesses and my pains and my thoughts. Would you clap your hands and shout hallelujah? What does it say? The Lord is my shepherd. Psalms 23:1 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou, Lord, art with me. Thy rod and thy staff doth comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Everybody should say that. He's all I need. See, the shepherd looked for the best land for grazing. The shepherd looked for the safest place. The shepherd looked for the watering holes. And here David is saying that our Lord has his best interest, our best interest in mind. Aren't you thankful for a Lord that has his best interest and our best interest in mind? You see, the sheep can't necessarily find good grazing ground on their own, let alone defend themselves. Can't. That's why we're referenced as the sheep. Amen. Look at somebody again and say, bah. I was thinking, you ain't going to get me to do that. I will at some point. But study, you could do a study on it. Don't Google it now. But you can later, please. We were talking to somebody, and they said, some people are on their phone during church, they're Googling things. And they said, no, it's not, it's my Bible. Well, one time I was sitting next to them, and they fell asleep, and they were watching this cooking show. Their head was down, that thing just was on loop, and it was just repeating. It just came, that, I don't know how many times that person seared that meat. You know, I'm just watching it with them all. So don't Google it right now, okay? But you'll find that sheep are not necessarily survivors. They're not strong and independent creatures. They're not proud hunters or fierce predators. They are directionally challenged as well as wanderers. Even if you put sheep in a perfect pasture with everything they need to survive, you'll find that sooner or later, they'll just randomly wander off. They need guidance. They need guidance. Sheep are not only directionalists, and that's why I can't find my way out of Archbold, sweetheart. I'm just directionless. I'm just a sheep. She does not even deny it. But here it is. They are also defenseless. If left to themselves without the attention of the shepherd, truth is they'll become a snack. Think about it now. A bear comes into the presence. What does the sheep herd have to defend themselves with? Think about that now. Do they have claws? No. Do they have these sharp teeth and fangs that would just, a bear comes in? How many times have we've read or heard or seen a story about a lamb defeating a lion or a bear? It's like, yeah, that'd be weird, I think. think. Venom? Do they have a venom? No. They don't have fangs. They don't have claws. They don't have venom. They don't have wings. They can't fly away. Can it dash its enemy to a pulverized dust with its front hooves? Does it run? Because the reality is sheep really aren't that fast. So what do sheep do? What is their defense? What is that mechanism that kicks in? I'll tell you what it is. Their power comes from the shepherd and his ability and desire to protect what is his. Sheep can't pulverize an enemy. Sheep can't bite an enemy, can't inject venom, can't scratch it with claws. The power of sheep is found in the shepherd, and God Almighty is my shepherd. When I can't win the battle on my own, the Lord is my shepherd. He's all I need. When I don't know where to go or who to turn to, I look to the shepherd. He's all I need. Come on, somebody, if you need the touch of the shepherd, clap your hands and shout hallelujah. Woo. The Lord is my shepherd. He's my shepherd. He's all I need. And in John chapter 10, by his declaration of state in the statement of being the door, the shepherd, he's letting the enemy know that if you want them, you got to come through me. When he said, I am the door, I am the gatekeeper of the herd, he's literally telling them, the only way you're getting to them is you got to fight me. The only way they're going to get out is they got to cross or walk over me, my love, my protection. We do that, though, sometimes. But guess what? He's my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. He's all I need. And I'm sure there were times all of us have gotten too close to that little gate-like area. Poked us. It's gotten our attention. Anybody feel like that sometimes when you know in your heart, you're like, I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have gone there. I shouldn't have been around that. Anybody ever feel like that? Yeah. Here it is. The hedge is not to keep the unwanted out, but it's designed for the purpose of guarding the things of value as well. It's conviction. It's conviction. We probably all felt that. And don't despise those moments. Sometimes people give up serving the Lord because they felt bad about doing something. Yeah. That's the love and the mercy of God. Don't bail out just because you fell over and you can't get back up. Guess what? The shepherd knows. He's going to pick you back up. Hebrews chapter 12, 5 says this, and if you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as children, my son, despise not the chastening or the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For the whom the Lord loveth, he chastises, or he develops through training, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons, for what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof are all partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. You know what that really means? If you don't ever feel conviction or correction, he's not your heavenly Father. That's what it means. But if you do, guess what? The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. So all of that to say that there is a hedge of protection designed to not just keep the enemy away in that bay, but also is to guard you and I from stepping out of the covering of God Almighty. Does it hurt sometimes? Yes. But I'd rather get my feelings hurt and be saved than to boldly overstep those boundaries and barriers and fall off the cliff. Is it just a few of us that believe that today? Wouldn't you rather have your feelings hurt by the Word of God than... And I'm sure there were times all of us had attempted to slip away from the shepherd's grasp and even gotten away. For the Bible reads in Matthew chapter 18, verse 11, Matthew 18 and verse 11, "For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep and one of them gone astray, doth he leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I send you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray." Now we can understand, as he would be the door to the sheepfold, that he would lay in front of the entrance. 1 John 3:16, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. So we understand that why he would call himself a shepherd and the door, and we understand all those things, because he laid down his life for us. He's the door, he's the shepherd, he's the gatekeeper, and that's why we can boldly say, "I will fear no evil." But I come across an article sometime back, and it jumped out at me. It was embracingbrokenministries.com. And I quote, and it's referencing sheep of all things. "Every once in a while," they write, "a ewe will give birth to a lamb and reject it. There are many reasons she may do this. If the lamb is returned to the ewe, the mother may even kick the poor animal away. Once an ewe rejects one of her lambs, she will never change her mind. These little lambs will hang their heads so low that it looks like something is wrong with its neck. Their spirit is broken. These lambs are called bummer lambs. And unless the shepherd intervenes, the lamb will die, rejected and alone. So do you know what the shepherd does? He takes that rejected little one into his home, hand feeds it, and keeps it warm by the fire," they write. "He will wrap it up with blankets and hold it to his chest so the bummer can hear his heartbeat. And once the lamb is strong enough, the shepherd will place it back in the field with the rest of the flock. But the sheep never forgets how the shepherd cared for him when his mother rejected him. When the shepherd calls for the flock, guess who comes running first? It's the bummer sheep. He knows his voice intimately. It's not that the bummer lamb is loved more. It just knows intimately the one who loves it. It's not that it's loved more. It just loves, believes it, because it has experienced its love one more time," end of quote. And there's so many places we could go with that very thought today. The bummer sheep knows the voice of the shepherd. The only way the bummer sheep can survive is if the shepherd intervenes. These little lambs would hang their heads so low that it looks like something's wrong with its neck, that their spirit is broken. It's rejected by others, but cared for by the shepherd. That's all I need to say is this: the Lord is my shepherd. He's all I need. When others wanted to reject me, when others cast me aside, the Lord intervened and became my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. When I've been cast aside, or when I feel like nobody understands and feel like I've been pushed out, nobody wants me, guess what? The Lord is my shepherd. He's all I need. Jesus likened himself as the good shepherd, as the doorway of the sheep. Dr. Luke recorded Jesus' teaching, his parable, about the shepherd doing what it takes to rescue one lost lamb, Luke chapter 15, verse 1. "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, 'This man receives sinners and eats with them.' So he told them this parable: What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the country and go after the one that he lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors and says to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.' Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents over every 99 righteous person who needs no repentance." And Jesus is teaching that he will do whatever it takes to save the 99. By leaving them in a hedged-in, opened area. You see, the Lord trusts his boundaries. That's why we got his word. It literally is to set up boundaries in our life, because he knows what he said. Let me say this. He trusts his boundaries. He does. So we should trust them and not look at them as, oh, it's a law, it's a baby gate to keep me from happiness. It's just trying to tell the word of God so harsh. It's keeping me from joy and happiness, trying to keep me and keep me from having a good time. You know, years ago, many, many years ago, I'll never forget when we were visiting some folks in Missouri, and Chloe was just a baby. She was just crawling. I don't even think she was walking yet. And we didn't have the baby gate up fast enough. We were getting ready to leave, actually. And she seen her little baby doll, and she was leaning over the edge of those stairs, and my little baby going after her little baby just tumbled all the way down the stairs. You want to talk about feeling bad? Oh, my Lord. It was terrible. Thankfully, she survived. Amen. But I'll never forget that baby gate wasn't to keep her from treasures down in the basement. That baby gate was to guard her from falling. Sometimes there's things set up in his word. It's not to keep us from having a good time. It's to protect us. You don't have to have those memories. You don't have to fight that addiction. You don't have to fight those thoughts. Come on, somebody. Come on. We ought to be thankful for that. But here's what happens when a lamb or sheep wander off. And I know it's about time to wrap this puppy up, so just give me a few more minutes. Inside the DNA of a sheep, the wool has to be protected and moisturized. The shepherd may anoint their heads with oil, their nostrils and ears with a balmy substance to guard the animal from insects burrowing themselves into the said sheep's ear, eyes, and nose. But what happens to the wool or the skin that needs moisturized and protected? Inside the DNA of these animals is almost a waxy type of substance that is produced. Its body tells it to produce this. It's a chemical. It's nature's way of protecting the skin and wool from fungal growth of microbes growing inside the wool on top of the lamb. It's called lanolin. Everybody say lanolin. Lanolin. See, you didn't know you were going to come to church and learn all about Nat Geo and Discovery. And it's called lanolin. Some call it wool yolk. Wool wash or wool grease, because it's a waxy-like texture secreted from the sebaceous glands of sheep. The issue with lanolin is this. It's sticky. So whatever a lamb and wherever a lamb lays down, brushes up against, touches, it picks up whatever it brushed up against or laid down in. It will literally get up. It's kind of like those little burrs or whatever. If you're walking through the woods and these little burrs, these little prickers stick to your pant legs or your shoestrings or whatever. Anybody know what I'm talking about? That's exactly what lanolin is like on a sheep or, you know, a little lamb when it walks by. It needs to moisturize its skin. It needs to moisturize its wool. So inside of this animal is built in this chemical of sorts to literally secrete out this waxy-like substance. Because not only does it moisturize the skin, but it also protects the skin from animals or things trying to get, insects trying to get inside of it. The problem with it is that when it lays down, whatever it lays in, it picks up and carries off. Whatever that lamb or sheep lies in, it carries with it over and over and over and over again. It's been recorded that sheep with lanolin being excreted from its pores has been found with flies, ticks, and watch this, and forgive me, and even upwards of 5 pounds of waste stuck in its wool. How many want to go out and be a shepherd today, raise sheep? I mean, whatever it brushed up against will stick to their wool, Sometimes it makes its way to the body and a tick gets free, and then later it gets a free lunch. Prickers and thorns. It sticks to the lanolin and then finds it into the skin of the lamb, only to be buried deep in its body. So now the thorn has worked its way beyond that thick wool, beyond that barrier. And whenever that thorn or whatever, if it can work past all of that, it literally will stick to his body. And whenever he would lay down or sit down or brush up, now he's feeling that thorn in him. We could all stand and musicians come. You see, that thorn becomes an infected area. That thorn begins to prick it and becomes infected. And we know how it is just to get splinters in the hand. And that if not dealt with, pulled out, it will fester up and hurt. See, the Lord is my shepherd. He's all I need. He comes after us when we wander off. Whether it's because we're grazing in all the wrong places. Maybe it's we stepped past the hedge of protection, or we even stepped over him. Jesus becomes so moved with compassion that he goes after us. You see, the Lord is my shepherd. He's all I need. Because here it is. The shepherd knows how to remove the excess lanolin. And no matter what you've picked up along the way, no matter the bad habits, no matter the failures, no matter the ungodly thought patterns, no matter the anxieties, no matter the fear that you may have picked up along the way in life, you name it, our shepherd knows how to deal with that. Lord is my shepherd. Maybe you've wandered off into places you have no business going to. Picked up things. Guess what? You know what else the shepherd does whenever he's bringing the flock back into protection from grazing? He stops each one and he looks over the body, because he doesn't want it to bring in an infection, so he wants to treat it right there at the door. And that's why Jesus said, I am the door, because not only will he be your protection, but he'll be your covering, and he wants to be your healer. And get this, what we reveal, he'll heal. But what we want to hide from him, and we try to sneak in, guess what? You're just bringing one thing upon another thing. And I said it already, that sheep with lanolin that's undealt with, they're picking up bugs, they're picking up ticks, they're picking up flies. They said upwards of 5 pounds of dung. You need the shepherd. I need the shepherd. The Lord is, hear me clearly today, he's all you need. He's all I need. What I love about the shepherd is, like us, maybe feeling like a bummer lamb, neglected and rejected, the way he saves that lamb is he picks it up. He soothes that little baby lamb with his voice, and he lets it hear his heartbeat. He covers it under the coverings and in the protection of the home. I tell us today, if you feel like you've been rejected, if you feel like you've been neglected, we got a Lord who is my shepherd. He's all you need. He's all. Would you right now, if you feel comfortable doing, maybe step out from where you are, grab the hand of the person next to you, and just kind of invite them. Let's just go together. Let's just talk to the shepherd. Come on, somebody. That's right. Let's step up as close as we can. Not everybody, just because that's what we do. That's just what we're going to do today. And if you don't have somebody to pray with, find somebody if you don't mind. because truth be told, every last one of us need the touch of the shepherd. And we ought to be thankful that he knows. He knows. The Lord is my shepherd. He's all I. Right now, would you begin to lift your hands and begin to talk to the Lord right now? Come on, somebody, begin. Lord Jesus, I've tried
Lord
to fix
is
this.
My shepherd.
God, I need you right now. Oh, Jesus.
He goes before
yes, 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 Jesus. You're my shepherd.
Defender behind
I need you right now to touch my mind. Lord Jesus, there's things that have been trying to mess with my mind, my hearing, my vision. Oh, God, I need you as my shepherd to anoint my head with oil. Jesus, I need you to protect my mind from the things that I've been facing. Little things, God, been trying to get inside and mess with me. God, I need you to anoint my head with oil. Oh, God, right now I need you, Jesus. You are the door. You're the good shepherd. I pray, God, right now. Oh, God, if there's things in my life that need to be inspected, inspect me, God. God, I don't want little things to turn into something major. You're my